People choose the news they want now, but we
people choose the
that.
Facts they want now.
I don't mind being dejected and rejected, but I'm not going to be ashamed about it.
I can do that.
See, Joey, that's the beauty of argument. Because if you argue correctly, you're never wrong.
The truth and a lie are not sort of the same thing.
Good evening. It's Friday and it's 7 p.m., which means it's time for the Inciting Incident Podcast, supported by our patrons and available on Libsyn, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, LiveJournal, Google Plus, The Hard Harry Show, News Radio, WHP 580, Rock and Emily's bed radios that are somehow appropriate for children that age, most tin cans connected with string, Tumblr, Snapchat, Zanga, LimeWire, WinMX, Napster. We'll have to spell it with two Y's there to escape Big Brother. The DCI, the Enchantment Under the Sea Dance, the plate in Pete and Pete's mother's head, and any other podcast app that somehow escaped this list. And now, here's your host, Al Lehman.
So now time for the main event, which I'm sure you've all been waiting for. And if you've listened to everything up to this, you're also wondering how the hell we got Noam Chomsky.
I'm still
good question.
Myself, yes.
Good question. And the truth is, he was willing to answer the questions that I had, but he is a busy, busy man and did not have time to come on our show. Plus, he's 87, and I don't blame him. So, he's got lots of stuff to do. I just want to thank, whether I should call him Dr. Chomsky, Professor Chomsky, Noam Chomsky, whatever it is. The fact is, he gave me information to use on this show. But because it is in print, I'm not just going to read you the transcript.
Okay.
So, what I'm going to do here is sort of continue what we've been doing. And I'm going to ask you guys the questions that I asked him.
Ooh.
To see where we fall in line.
All right.
And of course, we also have Dr. Kuklick to contrast as well. But I know you had a different opinion of the specific book I gave you to read than I did. But, you know, that happens. But try to not worry about that. We're just going to start with the questions themselves, and then afterwards I will tell you what Dr. Chomsky said.
I just want to clarify real fast for our listeners. I was reading a Neil Gaiman book that I was enjoying the hell out of, and then I was told, hey, read this Noam Chomsky book, and I was like, okay, I can do that. And then this stark contrast between their writing styles just alienated me from it, so I tried. I have a lot of respect for Mr. Professor Dr. Chomsky himself.
Stick with doctor. That seems like a safe bet.
Okay. But, yeah, I'm not prepared for this one.
Anyway. All right.
That's okay. At least you read something.
So let's start with a basic question, which is, if everything that people say about how bad the American government is, or at least speak to its international reputation as Dr. Chomsky does in the book Who Rules the World, where he details our wonderful diplomatic policies going back as far as the 60s in terms of Cuba, the Cuban Missile Crisis, what Kennedy did and everything, and bringing it up to modern day with Israel and the Middle East. So my question is, if those are all facts, if our reputation is that tarnished around the world, if we are truly living under an oppressive regime that has the entire world pissed off and everybody's either afraid or really mad, what can we do? What is our responsibility as intellectually minded people who generally want to make a good bit of difference in the world? What's our role?
Boy.
Yeah, I didn't ask the softball question.
No, you did not. Oh, man. I sort of liken that, the thing that my mind goes to immediately. Cognitive Dissonance had a guest on their show a little while ago. It was a former officer in the Baltimore Police Department.
I remember
the Baltimore
one.
Police system.
That was a great interview.
It was, yes. And he was talking about sort of what he would do for the first raw recruits. I think the first step would be to definitely put our foot forward as a gesture of good faith. The example that he used for a new recruit in this day and age would be to have him work for his entire first year without having any kind of weapon on him at all. And just have him go out and interact with the members of the community, but foster that relationship over a period of 1 year to break down sort of that idea that this is a person who needs to be afraid of the people that he is here to service, and likewise the people do not need to be afraid of him. I think it would take a grand gesture like that, but it would be one that unfortunately we as a people would really have to commit to if and when the worst exploitation of it happened. And that's not something that is ever easy to sell or easy to do, but it's important that I guess we really need to put our foot forward and come at this thing from the highest moral ground possible to make the earnest effort and say, look, we've been this way in the past, we know how you feel about us, we want to change, and we want you to help us do that.
Alright, Astrid?
My answer is actually pretty similar, and I don't know why I didn't expect that.
I love you too, Astrid.
But so I use the same argument with police all the time. If you want to act from a position of moral high ground, if you want to exert some sense of authority, you have to have the moral high ground. You have to deserve that sense of authority. I feel like we need to fix our own shit, and I don't mean just, like, ignore the rest of the world. Mm-mm. Why help Syrian refugees while we have homeless people, blah blah blah. Help Syrian refugees, for the record. But we need to fix our own fucking problems, like prison reform. I personally am in favor of universal basic income. There needs to be massive reforms in the way that we recruit and train police. Tons of things. We need to fix a lot of our own problems to become the type of nation that can lead by example instead of with an iron fist.
All right, and what I would say, at least initially, is we're already doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see the numbers. I know how many of you are listening. Not a lot of people interact, but just to give you an idea, we, since the beginning of July, have reached over 95,000 people.
Wow.
So, somebody's listening.
I've got a responsibility now when I speak into this goddamn microphone.
You do. And that's exactly the point.
I don't want the pressure.
You know, 100 years ago, it was perfectly reasonable to say that the president is the only person who represents America. Mm-hmm. Or at least the president, the people running for president, and whoever our worst celebrities are. Because those are the ones people know.
Yes.
But that's not an acceptable excuse anymore. Because we do live in the age of instant information. And when we use platforms like this, like YouTube, like Facebook, people can very easily see that not all Americans are the way the government is portrayed by either their own government or whatever bullshit mountain sources they get. Mm-hmm. Because I'm pretty certain as much bullshit as we feed to ourselves, they get fed the same about us. So when we have an outlet like this, an unfiltered, you know, an outlet that's free to listen to, all it requires is an internet connection, which not everybody has, but a lot more people than ever do.
Mm-hmm.
It's our responsibility to speak out for what we see as the right thing, for what we see as the common good. And like we were talking about when we had Adrian on the show, for instance.
Yes.
We can speak to someone from a different country, and it's not a big deal.
No.
You know, we get to point out, hey, your voice sounds different. But, you know, of course it is. But when we get right down to it, people with good hearts, good intentions, and, you know, a head on their fucking shoulders can sit down regardless of never having met or spoken before and talk empathetically and earnestly about a topic that nobody should ever have to talk about. If we can do that and we're three schmucks in a bedroom, then surely the people with, you know, exponentially bigger audiences than we do can do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Chomsky's response, at least in brief at first, was, There's no single right answer for everyone. There are lots of opportunities, lots of pitfalls. We have to choose what is right for us. Ah. So, pretty much falling in line there. You know, we said it in a bit, few more words, but like I said, he's a busy guy. So here's the next question, which he has a little bit longer of an answer. How can young Americans who don't want to live up to the damaged and dangerous reputation of those politicians who create agreements and ceasefires just to violate them make a difference? What is it the younger generation can do to have a voice in our country contrary to the status quo of these higher level ops? Now, it's kind of a more detailed question in the vein of the first one, and this was because, like I said, that first answer wasn't very specific, but it did trend us in the right direction, seemingly. We all seem to have our own version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to elaborate further, go, Brian, what do you get out of that?
Well, the first step I would say, and this is one that I had to learn coming out of my own teenage years and my own self-important college experience, when I actually started taking a greater interest in the political process itself, the first step is to really work to let go of that weird cynicism that so much of our media is feeding us, the false equivalence between the two parties, the idea that platforms mean nothing, that speeches mean nothing, that campaign promises mean nothing. And it, no matter what, nothing's going to change because, you know, politicians are politicians. You have to let go of that attitude and look at things from both the perspective of the small picture of your everyday life and the larger picture of the country as a whole simultaneously. It's not an easy thing to do, and even I struggle with it. But this is the weird philosophy that I try to have. How much is this going to affect my personal life, and how much do I care about what my vote, what I'm going to be voting for, or who I'm going to be voting for, is going to affect everybody around me and everybody else who shares this country with me. The worst thing that you can do, and speaking from the story that I had opening the show with, all these friends of mine who are deeply in a weird sort of libertarian, anarchic, anarcho-capitalism, what have you, bent, the worst thing that you can do is adopt the attitude of basically, I'm going to take my ball and go home, because you're not protesting against the political process. The larger picture does not give a shit what you think as a person, but as part of a people. To add your voice to a collective is much more of a powerful experience.
Well said. Astrid?
So, fellow millennials, my proletariat homies.
Eviscerate the proletariat.
It is not our responsibility to fix the problems that the ruling class have set upon us. Like, we don't have to make that our number one priority when we're still fucking struggling to survive. Like, for fuck's sake, earlier today I saw, I think it was Time, maybe? I saw an article, anyway, from a relatively reputable news source talking about how communal housing, hello, communal housing is a hot new trend among millennials, but it's not hot and new. It's something that people did in the Middle Ages because they fucking had to. And guess what? Hello, here we are. We have to do it again. Do what you need to do to live the best life that you can. Take care of yourself, first of all, because I feel like we've all been very hurt by the world that we grew up in. Take care of yourself, first of all, and second of all, do not discount the impact that you can have. You don't need 20 million Twitter followers to make a difference. You don't need even a platform. You don't need a megaphone. You don't even need, like, forums or whatever. If you do your best to take care of yourself and make yourself a better person, make your fellow friends better people, you will collectively change society's standard of ethics.
Can I add to that?
Okay.
I'm sorry. You just reminded me of one of the other one other fun thing that
go
I
go for
I
it.
Because you know, yeah, yes, I've admitted we made jokes about it. I am a brony. I am a very, very susceptible person to a lot of really sappy things.
Me too.
And there's one internet thing. It's actually on a forum of a lot of really creepy stuff, which is why this heartwarming thing is kind of a real standout. But it's a hypothetical message from an alien civilization. It's, one voice. how to paraphrase it. one voice standing against the darkness may not seem like a lot, but the difference between zero and one is as great as between one and infinity.
Fucking right.
And as a mathematician, I can say that's entirely correct.
Fucking right. So, guys, I understand that it's incredibly fucking overwhelming to have been thrust into this fucked up world that appears to be getting worse, and guess what? It actually is. Things have been, I would say, getting steadily worse since 2001. And given that I was born in 1994, that's quite a lot of time for me, comparatively speaking. Things have been getting worse for a long time, and I know it seems like we're fighting a battle that will probably kill us, whether it's from emotional stress or, like, I don't know, being murdered by police or something. Don't discredit the amount of activism and the huge impact that you can have on an individual level without hurting yourself. Take care of yourself, guys.
And I'm going to extend that platform a little bit. The first thing I'm going to say may sound mean, but it's not. Stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your time with reality TV, clickbait articles, and morning television that is there to do nothing except jingle some keys in front of you and, you know, essentially have the mind of, you've had a hard day. You don't need to think right now. Just relax and let us entertain you with our mindless bullshit. I get that everyone has guilty pleasures. I get that sometimes it really is tempting to see the top 50 celebrity mug faces. Stop wasting so much time. I can't tell you how much information is out there if you pick up a book or download one. I don't do the Kindle, but trust me, I have a small library in my house.
Small.
But start finding people that you can trust to know things. I'm not talking commentators. I'm talking people who actually, you know, studied shit. you know, we're this interview is with Noam Chomsky. He knows some things. You know, he's considered one of the premier, you know, linguists in the world. And once again, I say he came on our show. I feel the need to reemphasize. We are three people in a townhouse in New Cumberland, and the premier linguist in the world responded to my email. Nothing can happen that you don't think can happen. Stop putting shit off and stop not taking an opinion on something. You are perfectly within your rights to be called out on a shitty opinion, but I will take someone with a shitty opinion versus someone who has no opinion or who says everything sucks or opinions are like assholes, everybody has one. Anything like that that requires no thought, no consideration, no cognitive dissonance, anything. That is not the position of an intelligent person. No, that is not the position of someone with an argument or who should be listened to for an argument. That is the easy way out. As much as I love George Carlin, the end of Jamming in New York or Back in Town, whichever one it was, where he gives that speech that people like this love to quote, you know, I don't vote for this reason because it doesn't matter. Now, I'm sorry, he was wrong on that one. People who want to get away with shit count on that apathy. And that is why they tell you, don't get involved. Your protest doesn't mean anything. Your vote is pointless. Activism is pointless. Protest, don't go. It never changed anything. Bullshit it didn't. In, what, 12 years, we went from boys kissing being what got a president elected to having universal free same-sex marriage. And that wouldn't have happened if people had just sat around and said, oh, it's never going to change. It sucks. Your voice matters. Everybody's voice matters. Whether it's just going out and talking to somebody, start a blog, start a podcast, start a YouTube show, go out to live events and start, write a fucking sign, whatever it is. Get involved. Have your voice heard. And when people tell you that you're wrong, research the answer and find out if you are or not, because there are just as many people out there with shitty opinions. But consider the sources. Always ask for the sources. Look it up on Snopes if you can't find a source. You know, anything that Trump says, pretty much disregard. All of these things you can do. Google is there for more than just cat pictures and IMDb quotes.
It's also got porn.
It does. And let's face it, we all need some of that at the end of all this, because sometimes these arguments take a lot out of me, too. But
that one was also sexual.
It really was. But the other thing I want to add to that is spend time with the people who appreciate your opinions and who respect you as a person, but who also encourage you to be better. There are people in this world who haven't done the things that they've always wanted to do, and they want to keep you there with them so that they can feel better about themselves. Those Ooh. Are not your friends. The people who say, oh, you shouldn't do that, you know, a liberal arts degree is pointless, or, you know, nobody gets hurt on YouTube, those are the people you need to get rid of. Those are negative influences. Don't let the people who want to keep you where you are forever influence your life. Be around people like the two people I'm sitting with, the people who see you as you are but want to make you better, who will give you the criticism when you deserve it, who will give you the information that you don't have if you have a shitty opinion, who encourage you to be the better you, who want to see the real you. The people who want to keep the real you as the status quo, as the waiter, as the hostess, as the person who is never going to get any farther than they are now, they are just projecting themselves onto you. And if you keep listening to them and keep letting them stop you from being who you are, that is always who you are going to be, their version of who you are, and that is not a way to live this life. We don't have that much time. We don't have that much time to fuck around. You deserve to be yourself. And you deserve to be around people who respect that you and always want to improve you.
So what did Dr. Chomsky say?
Good question.
Real quick, I just want to say, I feel like a lot of your view on millennials has been influenced by what old people think of millennials. Like, a lot of the vast majority of what you just said, I totally agree with it. But millennials aren't just sitting around watching reality TV, just, like, not thinking for themselves.
I didn't say millennials.
At
no point did I say millennials. What I said was, I see the advertisements for that shit, or I sometimes happen to unintentionally listen to it, and it's just garbage. Like,
that's fair.
You know,
that's
SmackDown has these full segments from Total Bellas, and it just makes me want to stab myself in the temple. I unfortunately have to catch the end of Chrisley Knows Best before I go to work. That is absolute shit. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about any particular group of people. I'm talking about, you know, those who avoid anything whatsoever that makes them think. Not that a particular group of people doesn't.
So
I want to make that clarification.
People not listening right now.
Yes.
Basically, yeah. That collective group.
The people who will never hear you say that. You got it.
The undecideds, because we need to dispel the myth that the undecideds are the most intelligent people. They're the dumbest. If you haven't made up your mind yet, this election started.
You have not been paying any attention.
This election started the day the last one ended.
Pretty much.
Okay? You've had 4 years to figure this shit out, and for at least one of them, we've known who it's going to be. If you're still Ken Boning this shit, you're a fucking tool. Anyway, Dr. Chomsky said. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking, because you and I, Al, are in a weird place demographically, because I'm still trying to figure out what exactly the millennial generation encompasses. Is it strictly the generation born after Gen X? Or is it within a particular time frame to have experienced the changing of the millennium to the 21st century? There seem to be two camps on this, and I know that you and I are both kind of on the extreme older edge of that demographic.
I think it starts in 1982.
Yeah, you and I are millennials, technically.
Yeah.
On a weird technicality.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple different opinions on what really defines a generation, and for the field of anthropology, it's the amount of time it takes an adult to grow the fuck up, which they have placed at 30 years.
Okay.
A generation is a span of 30 years. However, back to descriptive versus prescriptive. The way we use millennials means people my age. Like, it's not easy to recognize that there are quite a few differences in the world I grew up in with the world you guys grew up in. And, like, I'm not that much younger. I'm 22. It's not that much younger. We're still technically the same generation. But these subjective experience and the things that people attribute to millennials, they're not talking about 30-year-olds. They're talking about the 22-year-old assholes who hate everything like me because it hurts to like things. And we still like things anyway.
I mean, I spend a lot of time around these affluent millennials, the ones that go to Ivy League schools, and you and them have almost nothing in common.
See, that's because I didn't grow up being able to jack off on a bed of money. I had to work in order to make that happen.
So anyway, on that note...
Dr. Chomsky!
Yes.
I don't know why you're here, but...
jerking off on a pile of money. Now Dr. Chomsky. Says, all sorts of opportunities are open in education, organizing, and activism. There are activist organizations dedicated to all of the most important issues we face. One can support them, participate in them, and create new ones. Just as an example, the several organizations spawned by the Sanders mobilization, but many others as well. No shortage of opportunity. Yeah.
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 Pretty much.
It's just a matter of question of what you get out and decide to do.
Yeah. But it's there.
And even something as simple, okay, this was a great experiment, or a great experience, not an experiment, but I remember my high school civics teacher, all right, actually gave us an assignment at one point to write a letter to our congressman.
Mm-hmm.
Just pick an issue that is currently up for a vote in Congress at the time, or pick an issue that matters something to you, and write him or her a letter expressing your opinion and why you feel like that their vote should go one way or the other. And you know what? I got a response. I got a response from then Congressman Todd Platt saying, thank you very much for your contribution. Here's what, for your thoughts and your contribution. I am pleased to know that you will soon be a registered voter in our district. Here is what I am thinking about the issues that you brought up, and this is what we intend to do. And it was personal. It was professional. It was personal. But most importantly, he responded. This is how they respond. You know?
That's impressive, because all of the letters that I got from Nathan Deal, which, in case you didn't know, that's the asshole governor in Georgia who used me as an incubator because I have a uterus.
Right.
They
were from a staffer, weren't they?
Yeah, they were all, like...
Form letter,
but, like, 90% of the body was the exact same. Mm-hmm. I've sincerely considered your opinion, but I've got to stick with my own personal beliefs. And none of the signatures were fucking even close to similar. They didn't even have stamps made.
And this is also part of the exercise to see who responds in what way and how they actually handle you reaching out as both a citizen and a voter.
The reason why I said that it's nice that you actually got a letter because I honestly thought that my Nathan Deal experience was just how it went. It's nice to know that there are actually people who respond.
And I understood that, and it took me a while to understand that response was not typical.
And I had a similar experience.
Yeah.
When I was 15 or 16, I didn't understand what liberal and conservative were. I didn't understand politics. When I had the same assignment, that good old CV, I had to write Rick Santorum.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Fuck mothering Christ.
Who answered?
He did.
I would say a lot of it was a form letter,
uh-huh.
But the issue... Now, keep in mind, this is like a month after 9/11, so about 15 years ago to the day, almost. And for those of you who weren't of somewhat awareness at the time, they were... thinking of canceling Halloween.
I remember that, yes.
So I wrote him about how absurd that would be, and to his credit, he responded in earnest.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote, you know, I guarantee everything after the first paragraph was a form letter, but that's okay. I'm fine with that, because he didn't say what he would likely say if he met me in person, so I'm good with that. Another person who I've talked to, actually I've talked to two in person, and that is Scott Perry and Tom Corbett. And The reason I have trouble dismissing Tom Corbett as much as I hate his policies is he was a very nice man.
Oh, they certainly are. I met Governor Rendell, and I was just a high school choir boy at the time. You know, Trinity would go to the Capitol. I was. You laugh at me.
It's not that I think that's shameful.
It's because
in
I use the word choir boy, right?
Yeah, it's just like I'm picturing you as a small child, except like you still have the fuzzy.
No, I was a gangly and awkward teenager. This was in high school. The Trinity High School chorus would go to the Capitol Rotunda to sing during the Christmas tree lighting ceremony, and I got to meet the governor a couple of times, Governor Rendell. And yeah, the same thing again. In person, they're fantastic. It's just when you break down their politics. But talking about this, though, I've actually heard you and I, Al, subscribe sort of to Extra Credits there and a lot of their videos that they put out when SOPA and PIPA were big issues. You know, internet censorship and that sort of thing were big issues on the federal congressional stage. They actually did an episode where they had a sitting congressman, I believe from Colorado, who is also a big League of Legends player. Like a tournament level player,
yeah.
Like that, come on to give a few words about the political process related to this issue. And the, one of the things that he said was, you know, send a letter, write an email, like a business letter. He was very clear on this, business letter, or write an email, reach out however you can. And when you think about the eye rolling dismissive idea that people in government, especially in Congress, in the legislature, are solely there to really shill for campaign contributions, believe me, they are more than happy to get a message from an actual citizen, and most importantly, a voter or potential voter.
Hmm. If only we had three potential voters with a platform.
Oh, sir! Sir! Sir!
Well, I'm going to write some emails and see what happens, and you should too, if you want your congressman to appear on the Inciting Incident podcast. Let's make that a thing.
Don't worry, it won't affect your approval at all. No one's listening.
Inciting Incident couldn't keep bringing you commentary, interviews, and fantastic guests without help from you, the patrons. You can support the podcast on a monthly basis at patreon.com/incitingincident, which gives you access to many great rewards, including a free t-shirt if you pledge $5 or more. You can also support the show by subscribing, rating, reviewing, and commenting. To contact them about ideas, guests, disagreements, fisticuffs, salmon slapping, rebel rousing, or just plain old tomfoolery, you can email them at incitingincidentpodcast@gmail.com. On Facebook at facebook.com/incitingincidentpodcast, or yell into a tin cup and hope it's connected to one of our aforementioned string networks. And now, back to the show.
Hopefully they don't, like, listen to our show first. I don't want to get arrested on air.
Hopefully Dr. Chomsky is not offended by everything else other than his responses. So speaking of...
Balzac!
Let's go to the next question. And feel free to answer this in any specific and slanderous way possible.
All right.
What is the most frustrating thing about our own country that most people don't seem to know or care about? Do you think a majority of Americans intentionally delude themselves or don't seek out the information in the first place?
Yes. No, I gotta go full mathematician's answer on that because it's... Oh, God, I wish I could remember the quote from this movie again. I apologize, I always think in movies, but it's the one thing that's foremost in my mind because I'm a fucking media soak of a person. Towards the end of the film My Fellow Americans, you know what I'm talking about, where James Garner is waxing poetic about that one hopelessly romantic, gloriously deluded fool out there who still believes that we'll do what we promised. Because if we don't have that person, then the entire experiment that is America is over.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the more that people just dismiss out of hand anything related to governing, government, or governance, the worse off that we tend to get as a nation, because it enables so much of the bullshit that then those people will go and complain about as to why they are not participating. And this is not the same thing as if you take a serious look at something and then consider all the options and then reject it, which is another key difference that people cannot seem to wrap their heads around.
So is there a specific issue that you don't feel is getting enough attention right now?
Oh, jeez. A specific issue? Any historical perspective beyond the last election cycle?
Yeah.
Because this is a point that I made going back to the conversation about Facebook earlier. This was the point that I made about why I'm less inclined to believe a lot of conspiracy bullshit about Hillary Clinton is because that her opposition has been doing this to her and her husband for better on 3 decades now. I am not interested in listening to the boy in the field crying wolf anymore because none of it has stuck.
Yeah.
Even Ken Starr, the lead asshole of the Republican Party, who filed most of the bullshit, fake outrage-generating motions and tried and drummed up scandals, admitted in his report at the end of the day, all he had was a Lewinsky blowjob. That was it. That was the only scandalous thing the Clintons actually, factually committed. That's it.
Yeah.
Everything else is bullshit.
And for Trump to compare what he said to what Clinton did is bullshit because clearly it at least was...
consensual!
Yeah. So for them to say, oh, look what Hillary's husband did. Like, no, that's not the same thing.
No!
It involves hoo-hoos and cha-chas. That's all it involves. Astrid?
I'm going to have to say yes as well. I've got many directions that I can take this, but the first and foremost, the thing that leaps out at me, the collective mysticism that people have put around, I'm just going to refer to it as powers that be, whether they think that's big pharma or the government or lobbyists or whatever the fuck. It's a lot more accessible than you think. Fucking get out there. If you are horrified with the way that lobbyists are dictating our government, then go out there and lobby. Like, at the DNC, for example, there's an organization called SWAP, Sex Workers Outreach Project. They lobbied at the goddamn DNC for the decriminalization of prostitution, and I support that wholeheartedly. You can go out there and lobby. You can go out there and research big pharma with, like, factual sources. And it's just people. It's people that have been given too much power. They've been given unchecked power for the most part. But because we have this, like, mysticism about them as some horrible, unstoppable force that we have no say or control over, we are surrendering our power.
So we should listen to Andrew Wakefield, is what you're saying.
It's the Lewis Black argument. People talk about whatever the big oppressive thing in their life is as if it's a giant building or giant robot that's walking around smashing shit. No!
Yeah, like...
the government is not a fucking Gundam.
It's really not. It's a bunch of people who, for the most part, rely on us assholes. Us assholes, you know, being the voters... they rely on us to be able to get away with their bullshit. So, don't fucking let them. They're not a monolith. They're not mystical deities. They're not fucking superhuman. They're people. Treat them like it. Question it.
Mm-hmm.
And to sort of piggyback off of that again, for anyone out there who has not read James Lowen's Lies My Teacher Told Me, highly, highly recommend it. Mostly because of something that can be brought to this conversation in relevance is the dehumanization of Abraham Lincoln. And he shows how 18 different textbooks completely remove any personality, ideas, or context for Abraham Lincoln and just put him up on a pedestal because he was a president.
So we got Civil War, Emancipation Proclamation, shot dead.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we get. But when you take out everything except maybe the Gettysburg Address of what he said. I mean, just the second inauguration speech alone is one of the greatest things ever said. But most people don't get to hear that because they have these sanitized, dumbed-down history books. And then, you know, we dehumanize and we give no context for anything and then wonder why people find history boring. And the same thing happens with Big Pharma, the government, the founding fathers. All of these people have been put into legend and dehumanized. And when you dehumanize all of these people, they don't become people in your mind anymore. They become a big thing that you can yell at or about.
Stop putting these pussies on a pedestal.
Yeah, they were people with flaws. You know, the founding fathers were not a bunch of elite, awesome people without sin. That's just Pastor Carl, who got arrested in Georgia. Fuck you, Carl.
Fuck you, legitimate Carl.
Indeed. But anyway, the point is, we do the same thing with the ones who are there now. When, you know, I was making that point about Governor Tom Corbett, because if you just look at him as the fuck-all face in Pennsylvania, he's not a person. He's a thing to yell at. When you meet the guy, even when you disagree with him, you see, he's a nice person. You can have a conversation with him. You may not come to an agreement, but you gain empathy from talking to people. There's as opposed to hearing 15-second clips from some figurehead that you have no access to. Even people have been given access to President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you won't get it if you don't try.
One, I have to say this just because this was an amazing thing, both for the technology involved and also for the opportunity. There's a gentleman out in the Pittsburgh area named Nathan Copeland, and I know this guy. He's paralyzed from the neck down. He was in a car accident when he was younger. But he works as a staffer still for the anime convention Tekko, which you and I have been to, Al.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, he's been taking part in some experiments and developments between the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center and the University of Pittsburgh Robotics Lab to come up with a new artificial robotic limb for him that he can manipulate using electrodes connected to through a contacts on his head into his brain. And not only just can he manipulate the arm, he can actually feel what it's touching. So there's a great sequence of videos from local and national news, because the president came to Pittsburgh not that long ago and actually met Nathan in person on stage and shook his new hand, which was really, really cool to see.
Fuck yeah.
He was also in Pittsburgh and he met our former classmate Andy Lear.
Yes.
I saw pictures of that as well. And our friend Lindsay. But I believe she went to him still. There's a picture of her with the goddamn president.
Mm-hmm.
These are people, and you can meet them. You might not get to meet the president, but I bet you can meet the congressman.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, anybody who has talked to me for very long has heard me say that all people are shitty people at one point, but the future is full of endless possibilities to not be shitty. Demystify humans. Demystify humans in power, because they're people, and people are capable of doing wrong and making mistakes, and we're also capable of learning from it and doing better.
Noam Chomsky pretty much gave the same answer you two did, the mathematician's answer.
Oh, hey!
Whatever the answer, there's a lot we can each do about it if we choose. You have to make the choice. Next question. What about higher education has changed the most to the detriment? If those of us in college or just graduating right now want to avoid being categorized with the reputation of lazy, ill-informed millennials, that's not me saying it, that's how we're categorized.
I know.
What's the best thing we can do to distinguish ourselves? Astrid, I'll let you start since I used a certain word.
Honestly, I've got a very distinct perspective on this. As somebody who doesn't want to... I am the type of person who would bite the hand that feeds me if it was unjust. I am just that type of fucking asshole. I will cut my nose off to spite my face.
Ow! Why'd you bite me, damn it?
Sorry.
You're not unjust. I love you.
Yay!
Anyways, don't underestimate yourself. Don't underestimate the power in numbers. If you can do a thing and you love doing a thing and you can do the thing well, go fucking study the thing. Make your own business doing the thing. If you are an artist and you think people would really love your art, put the shit online. Get a Patreon. Work for yourself. You don't have to buy in to succeed.
Cheers. Brian?
That's the disagreement phase.
No,
that's the partial disagreement.
Not to you. No, I'm disagreeing with myself here because this is such a hard topic for me to converse on as somebody who was in a science program as opposed to an arts program or a political science program. It's not an area that I've ever experienced the same amount of real or outrage or a real or faux controversy that comes up when talking about
college life.
Basically. I don't know that I can really sit back and punt on this, but to the detriment, oh boy, it's so weird. My experience was largely talking about how much of a detriment my secondary education was. You know, how much the high school and the middle school education was in terms of when you get to experience an educational system that is entirely of your selection, and you're given the framework of things that you need to graduate, but you are still allowed that freedom to choose either what interests you or what is of personal significance to you. You find that you end up with a learning experience that is that much more meaningful, and it should be an actual special event. I think you're experiencing this in your tenure as sort of an older than average college student, undergraduate. Okay, well, hang on. Here's something then to the detriment. I bounced around a couple of majors in college, and one of the things that happened, I didn't end up actually in the arts and sciences program. That's where my mathematics major lingered in Pitt. I started in engineering, which was pure science. And the most that they asked us to do outside of our field was take a writing credit. Once I got to the arts and sciences, then I had to fill it up with a lot of electives. And they were interesting topics. Things like, you know, music and film and science fiction novels. But it's all in the service of trying to make you a well-rounded person. I think if they actually treated students, regardless of their major or their field of study, as professionals, with the idea that we are professionals and specialists. We are going to train you, we're going to teach you to be a specialist in this particular field of education. If you want the extraneous bullshit, we've got clubs and student programs out the ass for you to explore your interests there. But when you're in class, it may be interesting, sure, to learn about, you know, how to brew beer or the history of a 17th century winemaking in France. They are not helpful to your education.
Fair enough. My first thing is pay the fuck attention. Because I can't go into a class without seeing 70 screens on Facebook right now. And we have a class with someone like Dr. Bruce Kuklick, who, you know, we had on the show last week, and you can see where he disagreed with Chomsky's view on that one specific thing, but that's beside the point. The point is, this guy came out of retirement, he is a published historian, and he has a book coming out, and you should get it. But, this guy's a legend, and people aren't... There's some people in the class who aren't paying any attention, because they don't have to, because they were born with a silver spoon up their ass. Pay attention to people who know things. You know, I can't stress that enough. You know, if you want to be on Facebook, stay at home where it's free. These are $5,000 classes. And I know that doesn't mean anything to some of the people that I go to school with. But trust me, to some of us who have had to live on that amount in a year at points.
It matters.
Yes. Our school has a 6% acceptance rate. Not everybody gets to go there. Most people don't get to go there. Most people who want to go there don't get to go there. I am, however, in favor, and I think we were discussing this before, of having a time between high school and college to get out in the world and experience it a little bit to make you appreciate it that much more. Because I can tell you, if 17-year-old me had gone straight to Penn, I'd be just like the people I'm bitching about. I'm quite sure of it. But the fact that I spent years in retail seeing all the things that I didn't want to do for the rest of my life and having that motivate me made the world of difference. So... Dr. Chomsky, what he said here, once again, become seriously engaged in things that matter, ranging from research and education to organizing and activism. Yeah, I mean, like I said, these are concise answers, which is why we didn't just read you the transcript, you know, but I felt like having these answers have context to all of us would be a much more effective show than me going, here's what I asked, and here's what Dr. Chomsky said. Good night.
Honestly, when you first mentioned that we were going to read Chomsky's answers to the questions, I imagined, like, one of you would be interviewing probably you, Brian, and then you would be doing your best Chomsky impersonation.
No. No.
We're not going there.
No. No. These are people with reputations and knowledge, and we are not going to vulgarity roast them. Yes.
There's, like, probably a 10% chance that Noam's going to regret this interview, but...
10!
I farted.
Why would he listen?
Good
you know?
Point.
However, I feel like if we went to that level of absurdity, he would have found out. He would have regretted it. I'm glad we didn't take my...
Yeah.
Mental image.
We'll take the high road.
I think this has turned out rather well.
Yeah,
I mean, we've gone on for over an hour just on this part. So, last question before we wrap up.
All right.
Most of all, if you could pass along any message to our viewers and listeners, mostly made up of international students and people in their 20s, what would it be?
If it is truly revolutionary, it is accessible to you. There is nothing that is really, really gonna change the world for a better cause, like, massive changes for good. There is nothing out there that's really going to make substantial change that alienates the poor, that alienates the disabled, that alienates people of color. If it's truly worth pursuing, it is accessible to you, so go fucking pursue it. I love you.
I'm going to build a little bit off of that, but I have something a little bit more succinct to say. Never underestimate the power of a small group of people to radically change the world, because in the end, that's the only thing that ever does.
Yeah, and this is proof, because we've put together something here that is reaching people, and not just, you know, people like Noam Chomsky who are willing to take even 2 minutes out of their day to talk to us, but... You know, the people who have written us to say that we reached them with the anti-suicide episode, or, you know, speaking out against Carl. That, the video of me yelling at Carl was viewed several thousand times. So, you know, the next time you're dealing with someone like a WBC Carl, film it and shame them.
I'm just going to go back and say, logic and facts are all perfectly well... and are nothing but ammunition to strengthen a logical and well-researched argument, never also underestimate the power of a good, solid, well-placed ball. Fuck you, too!
Yep. Empathy only takes you so far. Some people just need to go fuck themselves. And that's why we have a show. Because without a Carl to yell at, we'd all be just as angry.
That's going to be our next t-shirt, then. Some people just need to go fuck themselves.
Yes. Now available at patreon.com/incident.
So capitalism!
What Dr. Chomsky says is just what I just said, which is not at all new. That is how it has always been. And thanks to those who decided to care and act, over time it has become a better world. Same in the future. Pretty much what all of us were saying in some regard. So,
nice. I got an intellectual link to Noam fucking Chomsky.
Yeah. And he's accessible. All you have to do is look up Noam Chomsky contact and you will find his MIT email address. Please don't waste his time. He's a very busy man. But this very busy man took the time out of his day to chat with three people who make Carl jokes.
Yeah.
So, you know...
Thank you for your words, Dr. Chomsky.
Indeed. And when he says care and act, that means not just sitting around talking about it, unless you're recording it, because, you know...
Because then we are acting.
Yeah. This is acting. You know, we've reached somebody, apparently. So, get out there, act, speak out, learn shit. Learn from people who know more than you.
That's the key, I think. Gosh, I'm going to go back a bit and talk about... Let's bitch some more about what we think is wrong with our society. That seems to be the biggest trend lately. I hesitate to call it anti-intellectualism, because I don't even want to put that big of a cap on it. I think people just don't like people who are demonstrably smarter than they are.
Yeah, it was, I think it was Cybabe on Gam, who had the quote of, everybody on Twitter knows absolutely everything unless you went to school for it.
Right.
Shout out to Gam right there, that was awesome.
Yeah, definitely, but I want to add on to that, don't be afraid to admit that you don't know.
Thank you.
Okay, like, I know I'm a fucking know-it-all. I am. But I will be the first to admit that I don't actually know it all. When you come to me with a question, which happens a lot with my SJW fairy godmother position, I get asked tons of shit that I've never even fucking thought about before, and I will be the first to say, I don't fucking know.
Holy shit, is that Trillion?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's Trillion. Wow. Is this 2001?
Yes, anyway, it is.
With that bit of nostalgia, I want to thank Dr. Noam Chomsky for, you know, we didn't have that much to work with, but clearly the questions that were put forth were enough to spawn over 1 hour of conversation.
You are a phenomenal interviewer.
Oh, well, thank you. And I also want to thank Dr. Bruce Kuklick, who was willing to take an alternative position and to review. There's the Dr. Chomsky position, which was America's pretty much had its fingers in everything and has a lot of control in the world. And, you know, then there are those who say the government can't do anything. And Dr. Kuklick was in the position of somewhere in the middle. The government controls some things, not all things, but there's always something we can do. And I think we should all try to find positions that are in the middle, because as soon as you take an absolutist stance on almost all of these ideas, that's when logical fallacies come about. That's what that word means. Fuck you, Carl.
And as Ewan McGregor said, only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Indeed. So thank you, Dr. Chomsky. I'm sorry. thank you, Andrew Torres, for representing us, just in case Dr. Chomsky regrets interviewing with us. And, of course, he got a shout-out from Sam Harris on Twitter, and shut his site down. So
it's a good topic.
That's our lawyer.
Yeah.
And also want to thank Elizabeth Drinks once again, our sponsors, Dan Flanagan and Mind Aquarium, Astrid, Brian,
yay!
And everybody who listens, all of our patrons. And we will be back with episode 65, because this is a two-parter. And thank you to patrons who got to hear this in whole rather than having to wait a week like the cheap people.
Cheap, 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 cheap.
Nobody makes fun of my favorite farm animal.
The preceding podcast is owned by It's a Shameful Thing Lobsterhead, LLC. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved. The music is done by Elizabeth Drinks and was used with permission and was mixed together by Alexander Goodliffe. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved. For media or inquiries, please contact PA Torres at patorres.com.